You're listening to DraftKings Network.
It's time to eat.
What are you hungry for?
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Joe Dolan.
Feed me now! I'm starving!
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. It is the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast. We are, of course, presented by DraftKings. I love those dudes and dudettes. I always mean dudes, non-gender specific, but especially those of you that take advantage of the code Ross over there. Very, very nice. There's a lot of things to bet on right now, by the way. We got the Masters coming up next week. We got Final Four men's and women's. Just use the code Ross over at DraftKings on the DraftKings app. We are continuing our series this week and next week, recapping Joe's thoughts on where these free agent skill position players landed, so that you know, whether you're playing best ball now or you're just gearing up or you're playing Dynasty or you're gearing up for redraft, you get Joe's initial thoughts on the landing spots for these free agents. We will have a couple of pre-draft episodes talking about the prospects a little bit before we have their landing spots. And at that point, we obviously will dive in very deep. When I mention Joe, of course, I'm talking about the star of the show, Joe Dolan, the original fantasy gangster at FG underscore Dolan. He's one of the owners over at fantasypoints.com, which if you follow them on social media, if you follow Joe on social media, you can see they're hiring people left and right. They are thriving because that's what happens in this business when you give people good value for their buck. And you guys can even get better value by using the code 24FEAST at fantasypoints.com to get a discount. Highly recommend that you do that. I'm Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman. 5 teams, 7 years. You know that. I thought Andrew Brandt had some really interesting points on today's Ross Tucker football podcast, talking about the owners' meeting, some of the rules, how they're playing on Christmas. Basically, kind of the polar opposite of this conversation, right? This is like a hardcore football conversation with the fantasy element. Andrew was all about that business, all about that bread, all about that money. Although, we will talk about money on today's show as it relates to the commitment from these teams. Check me out on social media at Ross Tucker NFL. We'll have the great Greg Cosell on tomorrow's Ross Tucker football podcast talking O-line, I think, or maybe D-line. I got to ask him. But O-line or D-line prospects for the NFL draft. People typically love what the civilian goat Greg Cosell has to say. We're at Ross Tucker Pod. Love those of you that rate and review the show. You rate and review the show and you ask Joe a question, I guarantee I will ask Joe the question on the show and he will respond to it. How about that? Just rate and review Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever, the Fantasy Feast podcast. It makes a big difference. YouTube.com/RossTuckerNFL is where people can check us out if you want to view the show and see Joe's hat. Wow, you're not wearing a Fantasy Points hat, Joe.
Fantasy Point shirt though.
Oh, okay. He always has some type of merch. He always
has I'm like a pro wrestler, right? You gotta you wear your own company's merchandise. The reason I'm wearing this shirt is not to advertise, it's just really freaking comfortable. So that's why I'm wearing it. Yeah.
I love it. All right. So Joe, we didn't get through all the running backs last week. Mm-hmm. We did Saquon and Jacobs and Henry and Pollard. And we ended up with Aaron Jones and Eckler. There's other guys we need to get to. I guess before we even get into it, we don't often have like new news on this show, but Clyde Edwards-Helaire signed back with the Chiefs while J.K. Dobbins was on a visit to the Chiefs. Does this mean anything to you? Is Clyde Edwards-Helaire even a little bit fantasy relevant?
Not really.
Anymore?
No, I don't. It doesn't really move the needle for me. It just takes another running back kind of off the market. And at this point, I kind of expect that the Cowboys are going to re-sign Ezekiel Elliott. Like, I know we haven't gotten to that point, but we talked about Tony Pollard last week, and the Cowboys need a veteran running back on their team, and they don't have one right now, and I think Ezekiel Elliott's going to wind up back in Dallas, and of course Dallas is going to be, I mean, Dallas is going to be the favorite to be the first team to draft a running back in April, but Zeke Elliott's probably going back to the Cowboys. Like, they're running out of options, and, you know, somebody like J.K. Dobbins, who it's unfortunate for Dobbins, but he's had so many injuries that I'm not sure how to project him from a fantasy football perspective. So, unfortunately, with Edwards-Helaire back in Kansas City, I'm not really sure where J.K. Dobbins is going to land at this point. Teams always need depth at running back. That's not something that's changing in this day and age. So Dobbins is going to land somewhere, but we're just running out of spots for people to be fantasy relevant.
All right, so I got some guys that are fantasy relevant that I want to talk about that we didn't get to last week, including DeAndre Swift, who I think was the first person in the negotiating period to agree to terms.
Yeah.
DeAndre was not messing around. He signed that or agreed to that 3-year, $24 million deal with the Bears pretty quick.
He had a really interesting season. When DeAndre Swift came out of Georgia, I think the overwhelming opinion about DeAndre Swift was he's going to be a great receiver. He's going to be an elusive kind of open field back, somebody who generates big plays. And look, we've discussed him because we had to compare him to Saquon Barkley on this program and how Saquon might fit with the Philadelphia Eagles. DeAndre Swift was kind of a grinder last year in a weird way, but a grinder who very much benefited from the fact that the Eagles had one of the best offensive lines in football. Last year, Swift set career lows in receptions and receiving yards per game. After averaging, he had basically 2.5 receptions and 13 receiving yards per game. He averaged 4 receptions per game and 30 receiving yards per game with the Lions. So that's an untapped area of his game that the Eagles didn't tap into. And at this point, quite frankly, Ross, I'm willing to blame that on the Eagles and not DeAndre Swift, because the Eagles had an offense that was just so stale last year. It functioned well because of the talent on it, but the scheme was not good at all. It was not creative. So I think there's more in as a receiver for DeAndre Swift. But the thing about Swift was he averaged the 7th most yards before contact per rush attempt last year, obviously, because he played behind the Eagles' offensive line. But of qualified running backs, Swift was the 10th worst in yards after contact per rush attempt. So he essentially got what was blocked for him and very little more. And I wonder if that's the kind of running back he's going to be. The Bears do not have the Eagles' offensive line, but they're going to have a very talented offense. Caleb Williams, I think, is the favorite to be the number one overall pick. I don't think there's been any discussion to otherwise at this point. So it looks like it's going to be Caleb Williams, and Caleb Williams is certainly going to provide the Chicago Bears with the run element to the game. Maybe not as much as Justin Fields, but there's going to be part of that. They have good receivers. They need some help on the offensive line, but I don't think there's any reason they can't improve there. The problem for DeAndre Swift is Rashawn Johnson's there, Khalil Herbert's still there, and those guys have shown some good things. And, you know, both of those guys are way better than what the Eagles had behind Swift and Kenny Gainwell last year. So what kind of a carry split is DeAndre Swift going to show? Now, the contract that they gave him certainly suggests that they view DeAndre Swift as their number one running back. But teams split their carries in many ways at this point. DeAndre Swift currently on best ball sites coming off the board with like a 7th, 8th round pick. And I kind of agree with that. Like, I'm not sure the guy I saw last year is going to thrive in a non-pristine situation, even if there's an opportunity for the Chicago Bears to throw him the football more, which I think they will do.
I will say, I think, especially with the new OC there, I do think it's a good sign that That was clearly the guy they targeted and went after and got. Even with Herbert and Rashawn Johnson there, like, they wanted Swift badly. Some of the other names I think are interesting, Joe. What about Zach Moss with the Bengals? It's only 2 years, $8 million. He did some good things for the Colts last year. Joe Mixon's gone. I think Zach Moss has does he have sneaky, like, league winner potential?
This is going to be a really interesting backfield. If you're looking at some other if you're looking at some best ball sites, current ADP has Zach Moss and Chase Brown coming off the board literally back to back in the 10th round. Like, that's literally Zach Moss goes one pick, Chase Brown goes the next. And I think what the Bengals did here is they didn't want to pay Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon did get paid, by the way, and we will talk about him. But they didn't want to pay Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon's given them thousands of touches over the years, and that's kind of what the Bengals did, the old school thing with the running back. They used him and abused him, and now he's out of town, even though they did give him a second contract. But Zach Moss is coming in, and what I really think this is going to be is kind of an insurance policy for Chase Brown, who late in the season last year gave the Bengals some big plays, and he's earned a look as part of a committee, and that's what current ADP has them. It has them as pretty much a split committee. Brown last year ran for final six games, ran for 173 yards, and had 149 receiving yards over the final six games. Brown played just 22% of the snaps over that span, but he was very clearly a lightning to Joe Mixon's thunder. Moss, though, he profiles kind of as the early down and goal line back, I think, for the Bengals. This is going to be a training camp battle to watch. I want to see what Bengal beat writers are saying about how Chase Brown looks in camp, but this is from Scott Barrett, who dug this up on Fantasy Points Data. The Bengals play almost exclusively out of shotgun. In 2023, the two teams who ran the most running back carries out of shotgun were the Indianapolis Colts and the Cincinnati Bengals. Those were 1 and 2. Out of shotgun, Zach Moss averaged 5.2 yards per carry. Joe Mixon averaged 4.6. So the Bengals watched the Colts and was like, this guy, Zach Moss, who's going to be a free agent, absolutely fits our scheme. He runs from shotgun, and he runs very well from shotgun. That is why they signed Zach Moss. So I think it's a very interesting scheme fit. Moss was better after contact than Joe Mixon was, but this is still going to be a battle to watch in training camp. I wouldn't be stunned if both Zach Moss and Chase Brown were fantasy relevant as kind of RB2, RB3s this year. Moss is a guy who's scoring touchdowns. Chase Brown is a guy who's catching passes and creating big plays.
Well, we talked about Joe Mixon. I want to dive into Joe Mixon a little bit deeper after I tell you how much I love diving into Labatt Blue Light. It is delicious. I drink it with my friends. I drink it while I'm watching hoops. I drink it with my family. I drink it on weekends. I drink it often, and I always enjoy it responsibly. It's delicious beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Joe, let's talk about the other Joe, Mixon, with the Texans. Singletary's out, he's with the Giants. We'll get to him. What do you have for Mixon?
So the Texans were clearly a team that was in the market for a running back. They were discussed as a team that would be interested in Saquon Barkley, which I thought would have been a good fit if they signed him.
the Bengals trade him to the Texans for a 7th round pick, and really it just looked like the Texans were like, let's get a guy in here on a 1-year deal and see what happens. And then they extended him. And it's more than a 1-year deal because they'd only save $1.5 million against the cap if they cut him next year. So it looks like the Texans view Joe Mixon as somebody who has a lot left in the tank. Mixon's been a top 20 running back by scoring in each of the last 6 seasons. So he's been very consistent for fantasy. Even if he's never really been like a must-have player, he's somebody who's finished inside the top 10 in 3 of the last 6 years, inside the top 12 in 5 of the last 6 years, and inside the top 20 in all of the last 6 years as a fantasy football running back. And according to fantasy points data, the problem for Mixon is his yards after contact has fallen in each of the last 2 seasons after his career best season in 2021. But Mixon was better than Devin Singletary in that regard. So I think the Texans view Mixon as an upgrade on Devin Singletary, who ended up with the Giants. Remember last year we discussed Damian Pierce was not a fit in Bobby Slowick's offense. I think Joe Mixon is a better fit for what Bobby Slowick does. And right now, on the Texans depth chart, there's really not a whole lot behind Joe Mixon. So we can project Joe Mixon right now before the NFL draft as having a pretty good looking role here, especially if Damian Pierce continues to struggle in that zone blocking scheme. Joe Mixon right now, kind of a 5th, 6th round pick on best ball sites. That is actually kind of where Damian Pierce was going last year, and we know what happened with Pierce. But I think Mixon with C.J. Stroud, who's an ascending star in that offense, certainly one that is projecting to score a lot of points this year. I think Joe Mixon can be a guy that you can add to a wide receiver-heavy best ball team and feel pretty good about it because he's going to have opportunities to score points in an offense that is on the rise.
Cowboys, that's what they should do. They should trade for Damian Pierce. That I would love that move.
Yeah, he's a young back who just isn't a scheme fit. And as we've seen with some of these guys who struggle in one place, they can go somewhere else and look at Zach Moss. You know, somebody who just struggled with the team that drafted him, but he ended up going to the Colts and looking really good after the trade and got himself a good second contract. So, yeah, Damian Pierce is a guy I'd watch in trade talks around the NFL draft.
Your thoughts on Devin Singletary with the Giants, Joe, and his fantasy relevance?
The thing about Singletary is he's a guy who gives you snaps, and you know he's going to perform well in just about any situation. He's just not a guy who's going to move the needle. I think he's an attitude runner. Remember, they call him Motor. That's his nickname. I think that's what everybody around him calls him. But they're giving him $9.5 million guaranteed after choosing not to pay Saquon Barkley, which is interesting. The thing about Singletary was he was a better zone blocking fit than Damian Pierce was with the Texans. He averaged 4.3 yards per carry on his zone carries last year. The Giants ran zone blocking on virtually 60% of their carries, so he is going to be a scheme fit. But from a volume standpoint, I just don't think he's going to have it with the Giants. He's a 10th round pick. He's actually going off the board in the same round as Zach Moss and Chase Brown. I'd probably rather have both of those guys than draft Devin Singletary at this point.
Thoughts on Antonio Gibson to the Patriots, Joe?
The problem with Gibson is that offense is just so bad. And the receivers are so bad. We don't know who's going to. We presume it's going to be a rookie quarterback, but maybe it's going to be Jacoby Brissett. If the Patriots choose to trade back, maybe add some talent to that roster and reload to get a quarterback in next year's draft or whatever, he's going to be their receiving back. He might be their best receiver on that team, for all I know. So he's going off the board late in best ball drafts. He's going off in like the 13th, 14th round. That's about right for him, and I'm fine drafting him at that spot, quite frankly, Ross, just because of the perceived upside or whatever. The Patriots view him as their passing down back. It's a ding to Ramondre Stevenson, but that offense is so bad, I'm not sure I'm drafting many Patriots at all.
Last guy I wanted to ask you about is just Gus Edwards with the Chargers. Because it's the Chargers, because it's Harbaugh, because we think they want to run the ball, and because I can envision Gus having a bunch of touchdowns, What do you think about his fantasy prospects?
I think everybody on planet Earth has mocked Blake Corum to the Chargers in the second round because they don't have – look, they have Isaiah Spiller who's done nothing in his career so far, and then they have Gus Edwards who's had a lot of injuries, but he also had 13 rushing touchdowns last year, and Jim Harbaugh does not believe in the forward pass. So there's an opportunity here for a lot of you still have Justin Herbert, who's a really good quarterback, but the receiving group isn't great right now. Quentin Johnston, Joshua Palmer, little unproven, Darius Davis. So even though you have Justin Herbert, it looks like they're going to run the ball quite a bit. Gus Edwards is a scheme fit, obviously. He's familiar with Greg Roman. He played in his offense for a good number of years in Baltimore. I think Gus Edwards has an opportunity to score some touchdowns this year. Let's see what the Chargers do in the draft. Of course, if you're doing best ball drafts right now, prior to the NFL draft, you could get Gus Edwards in the 11th round, which is about fair for Gus Edwards in the event he scores a lot of touchdowns for the Chargers.
Joe, we're going to do wide receivers next week because there's a bunch to get to there. There's not as many tight ends to get to, but I still wanted to discuss what fantasy relevant tight ends are out there. It's interesting. You know, you've always said the same thing about Dalton Schultz, but the Texans brought him back on pretty darn good money. They value him. The Patriots value Hunter Henry. They brought him back. The Seahawks value Noah Fant. They brought him back. Some of the guys that actually did switch teams include Mike Gesicki to the Bengals, Jonnu Smith to the Dolphins, Gerald Everett to the Bears, Austin Hooper's with the Patriots. The Rams paid pretty good money for Colby Parkinson, and the Chargers paid pretty good money for Will Disley.
So the Gesicki one's interesting to me, because the Bengals, as of now, Tyler Boyd is unsigned. I know there's been some flirtations with Tyler Boyd and the Steelers. He went to Pitt for college, and the Steelers are in desperate need of wide receivers. So Tyler Boyd could be back with the Bengals, but it looks like he's looking to move on. And although Mike Gesicki is, yes, a different position than Tyler Boyd, what have we said about Gesicki his entire career? He's a giant slot receiver. Teams don't trust him to play in line. That's why it was so bizarre that the Dolphins franchise tagged him 2 years ago, when you knew that Mike McDaniel, coming from the Shanahan system, wanted his tight ends to be able to block. That is not Gesicki's game. Gesicki has seen his routes per game slip below 20 in each of the last two seasons. After 2021, when he had the career high with 112 targets and 73 receptions and 780 receiving yards. Gesicki is a field stretcher down the seam. Joe Burrow can throw that seam ball. And really, at this point, this is a fantasy-friendly offense, and the Bengals have kind of had a revolving door at tight end. And Gesicki, look, he's signed a one-year deal. I don't expect that he's going to stop that revolving door in its tracks, but there is a chance here, in my opinion, for Gesicki to be an interesting tight end, too, in what should be a fantasy-friendly offense. And now remember that T. Higgins has still requested a trade. I think the Bengals will want to work something out with T. Higgins because he's on the franchise tag. But there is a chance here that it's Ja'Marr Chase and then a bunch of unknowns for the Cincinnati Bengals. Mike Gesicki, sneaky under-the-radar fantasy option at the tight end position with the Cincinnati Bengals.
Ooh, I like that, Joe. I think you're right. I'm hoping my boy Andre Yosivash gets some burn.
I hope so, too.
Fill in that role a little bit.
I just drafted him in the 22nd round of a startup dynasty draft, Andre Yosivash. And, you know, I was like, that's a guy. He played some snaps last year.
He had like five touchdowns last year.
Yeah,
three or four
touchdowns. And T. Higgins, you know, the contract. I was like, oh, well, give me a little Yosivash. Let's battle with the unknown here a little bit for him.
What about any of these other guys, Joe? Jonnu Smith with the Dolphins. And the way Mike McDaniel would use him, Gerald Everett with the Bears, Parkinson with the Rams, any of those guys that you're higher on than others?
I don't know. Higher on is a little hard to say for Parkinson. But it is interesting to me that a guy who I can certainly say we've never really talked about him on this show ever. The Rams gave a three-year, $22.5 million contract to him, despite the fact that he's really done nothing in the NFL so far. And he's 25 years old. Parkinson last year, 25 catches. He had two touchdowns.
Jeremy Fowler, before free agency, reported that he was an under-the-radar player who could get more money than kind of the football public would be expecting, because teams value his field-stretching ability and his size. He's 6'7", 265, weapon on end zone targets, and of course, Tyler Higbee is coming off a torn ACL and MCL in the wild card round.
So Tyler
Higbee might not be ready for the beginning of the season.
That's a great point, yeah. Joe. I forgot about that. I was at that game. That was an ugly injury. The Rams need to make sure they're covered with somebody else, that they have somebody else at tight end, and they're going with Parkinson as they wait for Higbee to come back. That's a really, really good point. I'm already looking forward to discussing the wide receivers with you next week. And then getting into the draft stuff. Check him out on social media at FG_Dolan. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. We are at Ross Tucker Pod on social. Please rate and review the show. Send Joe a question. I'm stuffed. We're done.
Thanks for tuning in to Fantasy Feast. Make sure to also check out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and College Draft, all on the DraftKings Network, YouTube, or subscribe to the podcasts on your favorite platform.